This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All praises due to Allah alone. In Him we seek aid and assistance, and to Him we turn both in repentance and for forgiveness. Truly, He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can mislead, and He whom Allah leaves to go astray, there is none who can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship save Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is both His servant and His messenger. One of the earliest revelations in the Quran was Surah Al-Sharh. This surah was revealed at a time when our Prophet ﷺ was experiencing severe persecution from Quraysh, when his own family and tribe had abandoned him, and he endured the insults and the anger and the wrath of the very people whom he ﷺ expected that they would support him, that they would be on his side as he tried to bring this message of Islam to the world. Rather, they ended up being the ones causing the most amount of grief to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to think certain thoughts, the type of thoughts that many of us tend to have in our lives. Like the thought of, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves me, if I am the one upon the truth, then why am I going through such difficulties? Why am I going through such hardship? Surely if Allah loves you, then things should be easier for you. If Allah loves you, things in your life should be smooth. If Allah loves you, you shouldn't be facing these hardships and these difficulties and these barriers and these obstacles and this persecution that you are facing. And realize this is one of the earliest revelations that came to our Prophet ﷺ, because the Prophet is going through the transformation of prophethood. He is learning this lesson early, and this lesson is going to suit our Prophet ﷺ down the road. As the persecution gets worse in other years, we see the Prophet ﷺ having more hope and more optimism and more strength. But these early lessons are what prepare our Prophet ﷺ for this situation. Surah Al-Sharh, one of the opinions is that it was revealed with the same purpose that Surah Al-Duha was revealed. And in fact, some of the Sahaba recited them as one surah. They recited it and saw it as being one surah, all of the verses as being one chapter rather than two. And Surah Ad-Duha was revealed when the revelation was interrupted from our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That he was regularly receiving Jibreel alayhi salam, then all of a sudden he stopped receiving Jibreel and stopped receiving revelation. And the Prophet was feeling feelings of perhaps Allah has abandoned me and Allah no longer loves me. And some of the women of Quraysh, one of them in particular, said to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قالت يا محمد ما أرى شيطانك قد تركك. She said, O Muhammad, why is it that I see that your shaytan, your devil has abandoned you? What she meant by this is Jibreel alayhi salam. That she's saying that the angel has left you, you're not receiving your revelations anymore. And the Prophet felt even more grief when he heard this woman saying this. And so these verses came in this context. Whether it had to do with simply the feeling of being weak, the feeling of being persecuted, or the feeling of abandonment from our Prophet ﷺ, Allah revealed these two surahs, Surah Ad-Duha and Surah Ash-Sharh, to our Prophet ﷺ. And today we'll talk a little bit about the message in Surah Ash-Sharh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings a message to our Prophet ﷺ with three rhetorical questions. These are three rhetorical questions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings our Prophet ﷺ to think about. And these three questions are questions that we also should think about. The first question, Allah says, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. Did we not open your chest? Did we not expand your chest? Opening up the chest, شرح الصدر, it is an expression in Arabic, and it means bringing comfort and ease. That you have شرح الصدر, it means that you feel comfort and ease in the matter or in the situation that you are in. Allah is telling the Prophet, didn't I bring you comfort and ease and relief? What does Allah mean by this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means, didn't I guide you to Islam? Didn't I bring you the guidance of Islam? And subhanAllah, just this phrase makes you realize that if a person did not have the guidance of Islam, if they didn't know their Lord, if they didn't know their deen, if they didn't know their purpose in this world, you would live your life with a sense of unease and discomfort. You wouldn't know why you're here. What's your purpose in life? Without understanding these existential questions, a person lives a very difficult life. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرًا. Did we not open your chest? Did we not allow you to see the truth as truth? Did we not allow you to see falsehood as falsehood? Didn't we allow you to see the understanding of the true reality? Didn't we give you guidance and light? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells this to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah mentions شرح الصدر in many different verses in the Quran. أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is not the one whom Allah has expanded their chest, شرح الصدر, has opened their chest to Islam. And so they are upon a light from their Lord. This is what we attain from having comfort in Islam. Sharh al-Sadr is not only that you know Islam is real, is true. It's not only that you know that Allah is real and that Islam is true, but that you feel comfort and peace and relief in following Islam and following the truth. This is Sharh al-Sadr. And it's critically important for every believer to have. And it should be part of our dua, and the dua of Musa alayhi salam in the Quran. قَالَ رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. He says, O my Lord, expand my chest, i.e. give me comfort and relief in following what is true. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking this rhetorical question. Didn't we expand your chest? Didn't we give you this light and this guidance that you didn't know before? مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ وَلَكِنْ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُورًا نَهْدِي بِهِ مِنْ نَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. Allah tells the Prophet, you did not know what the kitab, what the scripture was. You didn't know what iman, what faith was. But we are the ones who made it a light to guide with it whom we will from our servants. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وَزْرَكَ. The second question. And we removed your wizard, your burden. الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ. That which weighted down your back. Wizr means a burden. In Arabic we say wazir. Wazir is the one advisor in English, the one who was at the aid of the king. Why? Because the king has many burdens, many responsibilities. He gives some of those responsibilities to his wazir. So the wazir is carrying the wizard, the responsibilities, some of them, of belonging to the king. So what is the burden that is being mentioned here? The burden being mentioned here is your sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to our Prophet, didn't I forgive your sins? لِيَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. Allah tells the Prophet in another verse that God will forgive what has preceded of your sins and what will come afterwards, meaning all the sins of our Prophet ﷺ have been forgiven. And this is, you know, a powerful phrase for us to think about, that when Allah talks about sins, He calls it a burden. لِيَحْمِلُوا أَوْزَارًا كَامِلَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah says in another verse, they will carry their burdens in full on the Day of Judgment. And so you can just think of this imagery. Think of this description. On the Day of Judgment, people will be carrying literally on their backs the weight of their sins. And some of them will fall from the Sirat into the hellfire. Why? Because they're carrying the burden of the sin. They cannot pass the Sirat. They cannot pass this bridge, this crossing, with all of these sins that are weighing them down. But even in the dunya, even in this world, even in our lives, our sins represent burdens. We're not physically carrying these sins, but we are emotionally carrying them. We are psychologically carrying them. The sins that we have committed, the evil, the wrongs that we have done, sometimes make it difficult for a person to sleep, to find rest. Why? Because our consciousness is weighed down by the sins that we have committed. There's a beautiful long quote of Sufyan al-Thawri, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, one of the great scholars of hadith in our tradition, in our history. And he said, جَلَسْتُ أَعُدُّ ذُنُوبِ. He said, I sat down and began to count my sins. He said, so I counted 20,000 sins. Like, he literally sat down and began to think, on this day I did this, and on this day I did this, and on this day I did this. He counted his sins. He said, I counted 21,000 sins. He said, فَجَعَلْتُ أَسْتَغْفِرُ ذَنْبَ ذَنْبَ. He said, I began to seek forgiveness of Allah, one sin after the other. Sin by sin, he asked Allah's forgiveness. And yet, it's a long quote of his. He said, فَلَمَّا قُمْتُ When I stood up, قُمْتُ خَفِيفًا I stood up feeling lightened. SubhanAllah, the sins that we do weigh us down, keep us feeling a sense of depression, a sense of grief. And when you make istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you truly try to make amends for the sins that you've done, it's like you're throwing away these burdens that you're carrying otherwise. And so it's an incredibly powerful phrase that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in this chapter for us to think about. And so of the great favors from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He forgives our sins, that the doors of tawbah are open, that He has taught us dua and dhikr and the Qur'an and the sunnah, which we can turn to attain His forgiveness. Then Allah says the third question in these rhetorical questions, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرًا And did we not raise high your mention? Did we not exalt your reputation? Didn't we raise your status? And we can talk about how our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is revered, and how people name their children after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and more numbers than anyone else. But there is a spiritual exaltation of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Abbas says, look in the Qur'an. Never is Allah mentioned, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned with him. وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ Obey God and His Messenger. Right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Atani Jibreel, Jibreel came to me. And he asked me, my Lord and your Lord is asking you this question. كَيْفَ رَفَعْتُ لَكَ ذِكْرًا That Allah is asking you, O Prophet, how did I raise your mention? So our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahu A'lam, Allah knows best. So the angel responded to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قَالَ إِذَا ذُكِرْتُ When I am remembered, you are remembered alongside me. What does this mean? When you say the shahada, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, does it end there? No, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. We testify in our belief in Allah and our belief in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you say the adhan, or the aqam, you only testify in Allah azza wa jalla, you testify in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these three questions are posed at the beginning of the surah. Didn't we guide you? Didn't we forgive your sins? Didn't we raise your status? This is a rhetorical question. What is the point of a rhetorical question? It is a question to make you realize something you already know. You already have the knowledge of it, but the question is asked to make you understand or to realize or to underline the importance of information that you already have with you. So Allah is telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you didn't pay attention to the information in relation to these three questions. How can you think that Allah does not love you when He guided you to Islam? How could you think that Allah has abandoned you
when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven your sins? How can you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with you or doesn't care for you when He has exalted your mention? Now, something for each of us. See, we're not the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, we're not the Prophet. But everything the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also true for us. Every gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a gift also for us. And so we should be thinking about these questions as well. What do we mean by that? Think about how Allah azza wa jalla has already favored you, how He has already helped you, how He has already aided you. Just as how Allah azza wa jalla tells the Prophet, look to the bigger picture, you need to do the same. Yes, Quraysh is providing difficulty and hardship in your life, but look at what Allah has already given you. Examine the blessings Allah has given you. Don't only focus on the hardship without focusing on the gifts that Allah has given you. Allah tells the Prophet, didn't we guide you? The guidance that Allah gifted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a gift for every single one of us. Because of the gift of guidance Allah gave the Prophet, we have guidance in following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because of the gift of guidance Rasulullah received, He conveyed the message to each and every one of us. Did we not forgive you? Because of the forgiveness that Allah gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and our belief in Rasulullah, some of us will attain the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and our sins will be forgiven. When we follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our sins become forgiven. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرًا. Because Allah exalted the reputation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we'll be raised on the day of judgment alongside the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So every gift for the Prophet is indirectly a gift for us. And this is a reminder, when we've gone through hardship and difficulty, we've lost money or a family member is ill or there's difficulty with our children, and these negative thoughts come to us, no, think of these rhetorical questions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the Prophet. Think of how Allah has already favored you and already helped you. Then Allah says, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Indeed, with hardship there is ease. Fa here is fa at-taqdeed, meaning because of everything that has been said earlier, now know this. Right? Because of these three questions and you've reflected over them, and you've reflected over the answer of them, now you should know this piece of information. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. With hardship, there will be ease. And subhanAllah, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not negate the hardship. He does not say the hardship is not a big deal. He does not say there's no hardship. He does not say forget about that, just no, the hardship exists. There is a usr. The usr exists. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying for you is to know that even though you're going through this hardship, there is ease coming with it. إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Allah repeats it again. He's repeating it to emphasize attention. Pay attention to this. This is a difficulty you are facing, which Allah acknowledges. But with the problem there is ease. And ma' means with. Allah mentions in another verse, سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ كُلِّ عُسْرٍ يُسْرًا. Allah mentions in another verse, Allah will make after every hardship ease. But in this verse, Allah says, with the hardship there is ease. Meaning, with during the hardship there is ease. We don't always think about that. If you have an illness, we lose our health. We focus on the problem. The problem is I lost my illness. We don't realize the ease that is happening around us. Maybe because of your illness, your family is coming together, is feeling closer together. Maybe your family is worshipping Allah better. Maybe you are worshipping Allah deeper and with more desperation, because of the hardship that you faced in your illness. Your child is being difficult or going through difficulty. You feel bad, you're focused on the problem. You don't realize maybe because of this difficulty, they will have a much more successful life because of the lessons they learned in this difficulty, in this time, in their life. Simultaneously, with the hardship, there is ease, but we don't really realize that because we're so focused on the hardship. And then what's beautiful about this is al-usr is restricted. The hardship, meaning the specific hardship, meaning the singular hardship. And yusr is nakira, is plural, unrestricted, unrestricted levels of ease that cannot be singular, must be plural, and to an unrestricted level. And so Allah is saying, with the hardship, there is multiple forms of ease. And this came in the hadith as well, that the Prophet ﷺ, when this verse was revealed, said to the companions, Abshiru, be happy. Why? Atakum wa yusr, ease has come to you. And one hardship cannot defeat two ease. Because at minimum, this verse is saying, at minimum, there is two forms of ease for every hardship. But there could be an infinite number of ease for one singular hardship. And this is to console the heart of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and us with the hardships that we face in our lives. Then Allah says, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. When you are finished, stand up. What does this mean? There's actually 20, 30 explanations of the ulama about what this particular verse means. One of them is that, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ, when you finish your work, your da'wah, your business, you're taking care of your children, فَانْصَبْ, stand up. Meaning, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hold up your hands, ask Allah azza wa jalla. Another opinion is fansab, stand tall, means stand in salah. So when you finish your work during the day, you finish your activities during the day, even your da'wah, the Prophet spending all day giving da'wah to people, when you finish your da'wah, now do what? Stand in salah. Pray tahajjud at night, pray qiyam al-layl, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another important meaning that we can take from this is, notice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not specifically tell our Prophet what to do about the hardship. He doesn't say, go talk to this person in Quraysh, to go and debate with this person in Quraysh, go do this, go do this. He doesn't give the Prophet a specific roadmap of how to deal with this problem of persecution with Quraysh. But what does he tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? When you become free, do something else. Tahir ibn Ashur, one of the great, relatively modern scholars of our era, he says this verse means to keep your life productive, to keep working. When you tried one thing and it didn't work, try doing something else. People can deceive themselves. They reflect on the first few verses. They say, look, Allah loves us, He forgives us, He helps us. Does that mean that Allah wants you to sit around and do nothing about the problem in your life? That Allah will take care of it? No, He says, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ, i.e., when you have finished working as hard as you can to solve this problem and your work didn't do anything, do something else. فَانْصَبْ, stand up and do another thing. This was the interpretation of Tahir ibn Ashur, to remain positive, to remain productive in all the work that we do. And another understanding of this really is to not only focus on the dunya. You have a problem in the dunya, yes, that's a problem, work on it, but don't forget turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doing ibadah and asking Allah azza wa jalla. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرَضًا, and direct your longing and your hope to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your ultimate goal. And the lesson here is that if Allah is the goal, purely Allah, who cares about everything else? Who cares about the hardship? Who cares about the problem? If Quraysh insults you, who cares about any of that? Because Allah is your goal. Make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with you. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's more important than all of the hardships in this dunya. And subhanAllah, the lessons of this come to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the beginning of his prophethood, the persecution was not that severe as it would be later on. Because Abu Talib is there protecting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Muslims are being ridiculed, but they're not being physically attacked. The physical attacks come towards the end of the time of Mecca. And so the persecution becomes more difficult later on. His, being attacked by the people of Taif comes later on. The death of Khadija and Abu Talib come later on. The issues that happen in Medina come later on and are more difficult. And yet the Prophet feels more hardship here when Allah sends him these verses. You find his hopefulness is stronger later on. That he is stronger against more difficulty, he becomes more optimistic, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he learned the lessons of these verses, and that's why it's so important for us as well to learn the lessons of these powerful verses. فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا محمد اللهم صل على محمد ما ذكره ذاكرون الأبرار وصل عليه ربنا ما تضوع مسك وفاح صل عليه ربنا صلاة وسلام دائمين إلى يوم الدين وعلى آله وأصحابه الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى أمهات المؤمنين وعلينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين اللهم لا تدع لنا في مقامنا هذا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا مبتلا إلا عافيته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك الرضا ولنا فيها الصلاح إلا قضيتها ويسرتها برحمتك أرحم الراحمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأعلي بفضلك كلمة الحق والدين اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون عبد الله بن مصطفى.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.